to see if the Cleveland Indians can't clinch the Central Division. Tracy, how are you doing today?
Good to have you on.
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing outstanding, Tracy. Yep. Love it. I want to talk some actual wild card races and stuff, but I want to get your thoughts on Jose Fernandez and his untimely death. Yesterday morning. Every story I've read, and I don't know if you've had a chance to ever to talk to him or not, but a talented young man who's got a really incredible story on how he got to the United States. I wanted to get your thoughts on that whole situation and, the type of pitcher that he was for the Marlins.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was the guy the Rockies were going to draft that year, and the Marlins beat him to it. So, I mean, I've got a lot of familiarity with him. He was everything people say. I mean, he was a great ambassador for the game. He represented someone that had something that he wanted to accomplish, and I think his determination comes from the fact that he tried to escape Cuba four times before he was successful. And then on the raft coming over, he jumps in the water to save a woman that fell overboard, and it turned out that it was his mother. He didn't even know it was her that fell in. So, I mean, there's a lot of things about him that go beyond pitching, but pitching-wise, he was outstanding. It's just reinforces the fact that, you know, we can do all we want as far as creating a special stage or whatever for athletes, but they're human beings too, and you know they're victims of stuff. And I talked today to a couple of friends. Jerry Marin was the catcher who was the rookie that was told to go behind the plate the night after Thurman Munson died in a plane crash. One of Nolan Ryan's close friends, when I was with the Angels, was lying on Bostock and got shot to death. Going to a family picnic in Gary, Indiana, after a day game in Chicago. So these type of things, they come about, and nobody's immune to them. Nolan said, he goes, I didn't even think of linemen. The first thing I thought about were those three pitchers from the Cleveland Indians, because it was a boating accident that they died in during spring training.
That's right.
So, it's just, I think it kind of reminds all of us that they have the same frailties that the rest of us have. And then, even though they have a talent in an area that people like Dave and myself never even came close to,
I saw a video on Twitter of when Troy Tulowitzki was still with the Rockies. I'm guessing it was last year or the year before, and he hit a hard, I mean, he just smoked a line drive right up the middle, and Fernandez just stuck his glove out and nabbed it, and you could read Tulo's lips saying, "Did you catch that?" And Fernandez is just giggling and laughing. "Yeah, I caught it." It seemed like he had a lot of fun out there while he was pitching. He really enjoyed playing the game.
Yeah, I mean, it was something, like I said, he had such a hard desire to play the game that he went through much more than most of us would go through to get that opportunity. And once he was rewarded with that chance, he appreciated every moment, enjoyed every moment. I remember one time, right after he signed, like the second year, he was in spring training with the Marlins, and I went to talk to him and do a story and talk to him about the challenges of coming over from Cuba. And in the middle, one of the coaches came over and said, "Hey, can I talk to you for a minute?" He said, "Sure." And he went over, went away, and I just kind of stood around. He came back and said, "I'm sorry about that. Do you want to finish the interview?" I go, "Yeah." So I finished the interview, and I go, "Everything okay?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, they just called me in to tell me I was being sent to the minor league." But it didn't break it. I mean, it wasn't. It's like, you know, that's where I'm supposed to go. I have to earn my way to the next level.
Uh-huh.
And as opposed to a lot of guys that probably would have, and I don't want to blame them if they said, "You know what, I don't want to talk anymore. I just found out I was being sent to the minor leagues." He didn't even bring it up till I asked him if everything was okay. That was just kind of his approach to, I have responsibilities that I have to deal with. I have things I have to accomplish before I go to the next level. And there were no excuses. There was no whining. There was no complaining. He was just very appreciative. But I think he had an advantage over a lot of the students that come over in that he went to high school in Tampa, Florida. So he had a 3 or 4 year period there where he could start to understand how our society operates.
Hey, Tracy, switching gears with Vin Scully, you know, calling his last Dodgers game at Dodger Stadium yesterday. Had you ever had any dealings with him? Do you have any Vin Scully stories? What do you think of him as a broadcaster and the 66 years he's done it with the Dodgers?
Shit, I remember laying in bed with a transistor radio under the pillow listening to Vin Scully.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I covered the Angels, not the Dodgers, when I was in Southern California, but they would always have the series where they played freeway series before the start of the season, and you would get different functions where the Dodger people would be, and Scully was a gentleman. He was someone that I think, I mean, he loved the game, and he loved to tell stories about the game. I never saw him be rude. I saw him get embarrassed at times because I don't think he ever put himself up on a stage above other people. And I still don't think he does. He's still alive. Let's talk to him in the present sense. And, you know, you talk about tragedies in life. When he lost his only son, he was a policeman in Los Angeles. He was working on a rescue operation after an earthquake and the helicopter crash that he was in, and he died. So he's dealt with his hard times too.
Tracy Ringlesby joining us here on the program. Tracy, you're in Detroit to see if Cleveland can clinch a division title. It's been a while for the Indians to be in this position. What has really allowed Cleveland to have the type of success that you've endured this year?
Well, even though they've had some injuries lately, I mean, I think the biggest thing was they were able to put together a rotation that could push deeper into games and get hitters out. I mean, there weren't five and six innings. They had guys that would go seven innings and eliminate some of the middlemen in the game. And I think that creates a relaxed atmosphere for the offense, so you wind up getting more out of your offensive players than you probably normally would because they don't feel tension in every at-bat to have to try to play catch-up. So I think you find that with most teams that are really successful is that it starts with the starting pitching and then the back end of the bullpen.
Tracy Ringlesby here in the Sports Zone joins us every Monday. All right, I asked you this a couple of weeks ago with regards to the wild card races. Now we're down to the final week, so we'll know at this time next week who's in the wild card, unless there's some ties. We'll start in the American League. It seems like Toronto and Baltimore are the odds on to get there, but Detroit a game and a half, Seattle 2.5, Houston 3. Who gets it? Are you sticking with Toronto and Baltimore right now?
Well, we'll see, because one thing about Baltimore is it's got to go into Toronto for three games. So somebody's going to lose there. And we'll see. If the Indians were to clinch, if the Indians don't clinch in the next day or two, the Tigers are going to be in pretty good shape. They're going to be picking up ground because they have to win if the Indians don't clinch. So I kind of look at it. And then if the Indians do clinch, what happens to them the next couple of days? Do they kind of catch their breath to get ready for the postseason, or do they go full speed ahead to try to impact the wild card race? I mean, I think that creates an interesting challenge for the Indians to figure out just exactly how much they give up as far as being able to put everything in order for the postseason to maintain integrity of the pennant race.
Same thing nationally. It seems like it's down to three teams: Mets, Giants, Cardinals. Who's got? I mean, we know the Mets schedule is very favorable. It seems like.
Anybody want to win it?
I don't know. I if the Cardinals can't win at home, that's the worst thing for them to be at home for the last seven games. Good grief.
Yeah, I think they would. If they had a brother, they would be playing on the road right now.
I wish they were.
Yeah, but you know the thing is. All six of the teams that you'd say are really in the running for the four wild card spots, two in each league, none of them look like they've got the ability to get out of to win a game once they get past the wild card playoff.
Because
their starting pitching is all shambles. That's the one thing they all have in common. Yep, starting pitching that's a mess. I saw Wainwright pitch at Coors Field, and he was a competitor, and Wainwright was there, and he's going to figure out a way to get through games. But the problem you have when you get into October is, your quality of pitching you have to face goes up significantly, and I think that's what's going to hurt the wild card teams this year. I don't know that any of them can go in and match up pitching wise with the teams that are going to be division champions.
Enjoy that Chinese food, Tracy. We'll talk to you next week.
I'll do that. You guys have a good time, Monty. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks, Trace. It was nice listening to you.
All right, buddy.
Take it easy,
Tracy.
Bye. There you go. Tracy Ringlesby joining us. He said before we